said take a little wine. Stomach sake. No, I ain't been drinking, but I tell you, I got well while I was here. My feet were hurting so bad when I got here. I thank the Lord for loving me.
That's right.
Turn your Bible now, I preached this before. It's on my heart, bad. To Psalm 19. Psalm 19, I guess I told Brother Joel, I got here, I pray a lot. I just love to pray. I'm at home. Does that make any sense? I don't think it makes sense most of the time, because it didn't make sense to me a long time ago. But I'm at home praying.
Amen.
It's like a rat. You ever see I used to bale hay on a bluegrass runway field. It's grass. And we mow that grass. It was bluegrass. If you get a 30-pound bale, it'd be a pretty big deal. But we baled that, and many times I run that sickle across the grass, and there I'd see a little place right there, and you could recognize it's a rabbit's den. Sometimes I get off my tractor and go over and just peep in it, Jeremy. I always admired them little fellers. Mama pulled all that fur out and built them a little cocoon down in there. She put them little babies down in there, and they were so warm. My wife's here, been married 57 years. I get into bed sometime, pull that cover up over me, and I said, I feel like a little rabbit in a cocoon. You get up in his arms, you feel like a little rabbit inside that furry little place where it's warm. And she done taught him, if that sickle's coming, you stay down in here. Stay down in there. You mow right across it and hardly ever get one. I want to thank God that the devil mows across me, but they hardly ever get me. I want to show you one verse of Scripture. I told Brother Joel I'm going to teach. I'm going to teach this morning, and he says, okay. The Bible said in verse 13, this is David's psalm. You look at the top, to the chief musician, Psalm of David. I don't know what made David so wise as a child. I think it's spending long hours alone. That's where every man of God ought to be. I'm telling you now, I'm just telling you, this socialism's killing us. Just get out of it. He said here, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Father, I pray that you'll give me the gravity of this moment. Help this church. They won my heart, and I want to win their heart. I pray you'll help us today. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. I'm pretty tender. You can be seated. I'm pretty tender this morning. I look around. Last night I was sitting there and I thought, I can't tell you too much about it, but my heart really, really, I was dealt with the prodigal son. I dealt with that text. Where he got to the hog pen, I'm going to preach a message on he's coming home. You know, when he ran out of money, he was coming home. When he got down to that hog pen, he was coming home. Run out of food, he's coming home. He's coming home way before he knew it. Praise God, ain't that right? And I said, that's what I'm going to preach. But the Lord won't let me preach on it. Let me tell you this tonight, today. I'm not trying to filibuster and fill up a lot of time. Christians fail.
Right.
Christians fail.
Right.
They say, well, you know, and I heard a good friend. He said, well, all you got to do is get them saved and turn them loose. They'll make it. Well, they may. But the guy in 1 John 5 didn't make it.
Right.
Yeah, God had to take him out. Hebrews chapter 5. when they ought to be teaching, they're in kindergarten, they need to be taught again. He said, let us go on to perfection. Not going back and back and back and back. If the devil gets you to go back and back, Danny, back and back, you don't never do nothing. It has to be progression. Peter said, we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means you, when you get saved, you're not mature. Ain't that right? So I want to preach to you today probably one of the most horrible truths that I know of for you and I after we get saved. Now, it's there when you're lost to presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins are sins that are committed. Well, let me say this. I might have said it the other day, Sunday when I was preaching. Why did Eve take of that fruit? This is what I say. Well, we were talking. Why did Eve take of the fruit? I tell you why she did. Same reason why you do. She said, it ain't going to matter. Well, it did matter. Yeah. I wonder how many kids have stepped out behind the barn and said, it ain't going to matter. And they're done. They're destroyed. Yeah. From what they thought didn't matter.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Just one step destroyed the whole human race. And the Bible said the first will be last, last first. So I don't know how you look at it, but Eve will be the last one in the line. Because she started it. He's the one in which we lost ourselves. But he followed her for whatever reason. I think he's trying to get her out of it. He loved her so much, he tried to get her out of it. But he fell in it too. He messed in the mud and fell in it too. So it got him. So I want to say to us, today, let's deal with this presumptuous sin. A presumptuous sin is one of those sins that you think it ain't going to matter. I know I shouldn't, but. I know I shouldn't. I know this is wrong, but. And that but right there is a deadly conjunction. It's deadly. I remember one time I took my church. And I believed the Bible's the Word of God. I probably wasn't where I am now, but I was pretty close. So I was eating dinner with a couple. They was charismatic. They were in the church. I had to run them off. But anyway, little girl in our church had been eating toilet paper. She was mental case, and she'd been eating toilet paper. Not, you know what I mean, just like paper. And it won't go through your intestines, and it set up gangrene in her intestines. And they had her in a hospital, and she was real close to dying. So this charismatic fellow said, let's go to the hospital and pray with her. So we got the car. I drove my car. Got underway, said, Brother Wayne, I know what you say about the Bible, but, I said, wait a minute, hold everything. I said, stop right here. That contrast and conjunction means that you don't agree with what I've said. And you're going to change everything. And I said, we've lost our conversation right now. I was just a kid, but I was smart enough to know that he had done destroyed the whole conversation. I know what you say. I know what the Bible says, but. I know what you say, but. It's always a contrast. It means that whatever comes after that is different from whatever's before it. That's exactly right. So, a presumptuous sin is a sin that you don't think it's going to matter. And the definition of it is that it has a little bit of arrogance in it, Brother Jeremy.
Yeah.
Some of that, Well, you know you ought not to, It's just nothing, hardly much to it, except that it's aggressive. It means, it's a shrug of the shoulders. Straighten up, jerk your foot, jerk your shoulder. It's that arrogance in there. Presumptuous sin is a sin that you don't think will count, and you're saying, I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
Yeah. That's a pretty good big deal right here. Sure. I thought about this. I said to Brother Terry this morning, I mentioned a situation. I said, do you think that they violated their conscience when they did that? Oh, he said, yeah. Amen. Huh. That's presumptuous sin. When that conscience says no, and you do it, That's presumptuous sin. You think it ain't going to matter. And it is going to matter. It may matter more than you've got any idea about. It will before I get done. I'll show you what it has. So he said, keep thy servant from having sin that I think don't matter. And keep me from having a shrug of the shoulder when I do it. He said, if you'll do that, let me see what your Bible says. He said, verse 13 says, also, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? Here's what it means, Brother Joel.
Yes, sir.
Here's a man who's making his way through life. There are things that he knows he shouldn't do. I don't want to start naming them, but I'm going to tell you I could.
Yeah.
You really don't want me to name them, do you?
Yes.
My wife wants me to.
Hey.
We've seen enough, buddy. You think you're saved? You better lick that calf again. You better be sure you're saved.
Amen.
Don't it bother you? You want to fill in the blank? You want me to? She wants me to fill it in. Don't it bother? Oh, I don't know if you want me to or not, buddy. I don't know if you want me to or not. Don't it bother you what you read? Don't it bother you why you look at them pictures just a little bit too long? Huh? Herbert Williamson said to me one time, I wish all I had to get rid of was the way I dressed and the way I cut my hair. He said, it's what's in that mind of mine. Well, Jesus talking about it, didn't he? He said, it's said, it is written, thou shalt not or thou shalt, but I say unto you, it's further than you say. There's a whole lot more said than read. If you look on a woman, you done it. If you hate, murder. It's in your heart. We're getting pretty tight right there, aren't we? Keep also thy servant from these casual, I know what the Bible said, but it ain't going to matter. It'll be all right. You don't want me to preach. You don't really want me to preach. What you wear? Huh? When is the independent fundamental Baptist going to quit dressing so you can see all the way through their clothes?
Amen.
When are you going to quit dressing so that we can see your body anyway?
Amen.
They tell me now they made a paint. France has created a paint that you could paint the clothes on a woman. Thin coats, thick coats, I don't know. Just as well, spray it.
Oh my!
You're right.
Spray on blue jeans.
You're right.
I'm not trying to be mean, church. I'm talking about something you're doing. I already been to the altar.
Amen.
I know what presumptuous sin is. It ain't gonna matter. It ain't gonna matter. It's what Eve thought. It ain't gonna matter. That's what David thought. It'll be all right. It wasn't all right. Let's get old Uriah at the front. It'll be all right. It never got all right. Never did heal. I was coming to your meeting. I left the motel last year. Speed limit was 55 miles an hour. I drove 60. Now, I don't want you mad at me. You just do your own thing. This year was 65, so I drove 70. Tickled me to death, I could drive 70 now. But I passed Ted Hensley in that old van. My heart said, you offended him by going around him. That's some impressions. Well, I could say, it won't matter. But I drove about a half a mile, really. My heart said, you offended him. And I started musing. Wesley, I started musing about it. And the Holy Spirit of God in my heart said, I kept every little law. That's exactly the way he gave it to me. He held his hand up just like that and said, I kept every little law. So I reached over. I said, Lord, I don't want you offended with me. He's the best friend I've got. And I don't want you to cut off your communication. And I don't want you offended at me. So I started punching that coast button till it come back to 65. Now, I don't care where you're at. It don't matter. But I said, Lord, that'll be probably hard for me to drive the speed limit from now on. But I'm going to start today, and I'm going to try to drive the speed limit. You can ask my wife how I drive the speed limit since that camp meeting. Now, if you're in a town and they're driving like maniacs, you got to get with them. But if you're out there by yourself, you can keep the law. Only for one reason, because it pleases Him. And if it don't please Him, it won't matter. It won't matter. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Now, I'm really plowing a pretty deep rut here. Because when it gets done, it's going to really be rough. Keep back thy servant also from presumption and let him not have dominion over him. So he's saying, here's what he's saying right there. He's saying, as I make my way down this road, don't let those it don't matter sins pop up on me. Perfect. Don't let them pop up, them easy ones. An old preacher I preached for, I was preaching, I said, shucks. After church, we were sitting over there to eat, and he said, Brother Wayne, you said shucks today while you was preaching. I said, yes, sir. He said, you know really what that is, don't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, it ain't right. I said, you're right. I said, I'm going to try to quit. It hurts his feelings. It ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter. Fellow priest in that church said some pretty vulgar things. He called his hand out and said, it don't matter. Oh, yeah, it matters. Let them not have dominion over me. While I make my way through life, I don't want to rag this out. But it's got to bury itself in your heart or you're going to be in trouble. I've already been to altar. I don't ever preach something I ain't been to altar about.
Amen.
Never. So, Lord, don't let this pop up on me.
That's right.
You know, it'd be real easy to pour down on that gas and get there a little bit quicker. Oh, don't let that come up on me. I said this in this church Sunday. There is a place of quiet rest near the heart of God where sin cannot molest. Near the heart of God. I said that. I said, I'm living there. This week, God let it slip in on me one more time. I said, why did you do that? He said, I want you to know that you ain't got out of it yet. You're not exempt. I felt like I was pretty near exempt. I said, why did you do that? He said, I want you to know you're not out of it, son. It's always lingering, hanging over you. I dreamed, it's funny, Brother Milby. It's not funny, it's ironic. I was in Concord, sitting where I sat, way back in the Bible, I sat in the back. Brother Sammy came in, walked about three seats down, come to me, shook my hand, said, hello, old timer, shook my hand. He walked about two pews down, turned around and come back, and he said, I've found if you even have a bad dream, you ought to repent of it. And I just had a bad dream. And I did, and I repented all day long, Larry, over that bad dream. And you know what he told me about that bad dream? He said, Wayne, you had that bad dream because them cells are still alive in your head. Keep me from it don't matter sins that can pop up on me as I walk along. Pop up on me. I drive just like you do. Men are high tempered. I'm high tempered. Driving is awful for me. Ain't nobody could drive. I think they just all messed up in their driving. They don't yield. But listen, that is right. They don't concern about you. I want first, you stand in line at the store, they'll get ahead of you. I watched a fellow the other day. I walked in, I had about two or three little items in my hands. I didn't even have a cart. This fellow had a cart full of junk. He shoved right in front of me so he could get his done first. And I thought, there's another way to live this. I want to be first, but I'm not going to get ahead of you. presumptuous sin. That ain't the ones killing me. It's them ones that I've struggled with. He said, let them not have dominion over me. Y'all with me?
Yes.
I ain't going to quit unless he called me off. He said, let them not have dominion over me. He said, if you'll do that, I'll be upright. But you ain't upright till you get control there, you know. He said, I'll be upright. And then he said, I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now you watch me. You watch what I'm showing you. I'm going to illustrate. I can't make the words right sometimes. He said, as I make my way along, you watch me. Make my way along. Don't let them sins pop up in front of me that I just say, ah, okay. Ah, it's okay. Listen. You're talking about men on the job picking up wrenches or bolts, huh, or screws. And I don't know what women do. I'll tell you what I did one time. I had a preacher preach for me, and he raised cactuses for a hobby. I said, where do you get the cactuses? He said, I just go down to these local stores that's got these cactuses. And he said, I just knock one of them little things right off of it, and it falls on the floor, I pick it up. That's where I get my cactuses. He starts them off them little buds that's on them old cactuses. So I said, well, that's a good idea. So I got around a shelf where them cactuses was, and there were some already knocked off. I picked them up. That's what I'm talking about. Don Green won't even put his finger in a Coke machine to see if there's anybody missed or changed. He said, then I'd have to hunt them down and find out who it belonged to. He said, I can't do that. Oh, that's funny, ain't it? Oh, it ain't funny at all. It's a presumptuous sin. It won't matter. It will matter. Now he said, as he makes his way along, he said, keep me from presumptuous sin. He said, let them not pop up on me and have dominion. He said, Brother Wayne, they're just simple things. Well, I wonder why you do them then. You do them because you can't hardly help yourself. They have dominion over you. So if you'll keep me from presumptuous sin, I don't want to have dominion over you. He said, I'll be upright. And you'll keep me from the great transgression as you make your way along. Now let me tell you what that great transgression is. I believe it's right too. Every time you do a presumptuous sin, you take the step. Oh, I know I shouldn't, but oh, it won't matter. You're one step closer to the great transgression. And this is what one writer said about it. He said, you're one step closer every time you submit to a presumptuous sin. And he said, the last step you take is not a step, it's a plunge to hopelessness. It's the one that marks you out all the way. Now, I don't know really what all that means. But I preached this the other day at Brother Dial's church. And I sat down and the Holy Ghost said this to me. He said, some people have a stronghold of these sins and they can't quit. And somebody said, well, you can quit anything. Yeah, you ain't tried it then. You ain't lived long enough. That's what's wrong with you. There are sins that do have dominion over you. And you fight them. I mean, I fight my temper. Every time I get upset driving, I say, Lord, you wouldn't have done this, and I don't want to do it either. Please help me. Now, so you got a stronghold. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
Dobson wrote a book that said how to break up strongholds. Well, if you got that book, just tear it up and throw it away. You don't know nothing about. He don't know. Nobody knows. God's the only one that can break a stronghold.
Amen.
It is not possible for you to break it or your buddy to break it in you. Only God can do it. How does He do it? How does He do it? You just keep crying Mayday. I had a stronghold. And I hated it. And I cried Mayday. Every time, every time I broke down in that sin, I said, I hate this. Please help me, Lord. I mean, I'm talking about broken. Help me, Lord. Because of that, it prevented me from taking that last step. And one day, God broke the stronghold and kept me from that great transgression. But I'm telling you, if you're here and you have that, I know I ought not dress this way. I know I ought not put all this jewelry on like it is. Look lusty. I know I ought not wear these clothes that reveal my body and cause men to lust. I know that I ought not to have this arrogant feeling, or I know more, or whatever. I know I shouldn't, but I'm going to tell you something, buddy. You better get concerned about that. Because one day, as simple as it sounds, you'll take the step. And that step, buddy, will mark something in your life that God will say, I'm done right here. He's not going to throw a saint into hell, but He will quit working with you. And you'll be alone, and everything that comes down a pike will have advantage over you. You'll have no protection. I'm telling you, buddy, you better get concerned about this. Oh, it ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter. And we can talk about a lot of things. And we talk about going out on Sunday. I'm telling you, you just got to be careful about it. I know that man was not made for Sunday or the Lord's Day, but that was made for him. You may eat on Sunday, but you better not start harvesting on Sunday. I'm not justifying eating on Sunday. It may not be right. You better be thinking about it. I prayed a lot about it. Jesus pulled them grains on the Lord's Day and ate them. And I said, Lord, you could have got you a little pouch of them for this day. Why did you do that? And he made that statement, the Sabbath is made for me, not me for it. That really does change things. Me and Brother Wes have talked about it. I'm telling you, you better think about them sins that you think don't matter at all. They do matter.
Amen.
Get concerned about it. Think about it. There's a whole lot to these things. Say, it's just my sin. Anybody going to be bothered by it? Oh, no, you ain't right about that.
Right.
It's a disease that will pass on to everybody around you.
Right.
You don't have to say it, do it, or nothing. It's just an aurora around you that will cause others to get involved in it.
Right.
Sometimes our kids crash into garbage we thought was just secret sin, just little old presumptuous sin, back in the shadows. Nobody knew. Nobody ever knew. You might even hide it from your wife or your husband. Completely out of line. But that aura given off, you just may destroy your family.
Sure.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's what you ought to do this morning. You ought to come to the altar and say, listen, it's a private deal. It's not a public thing. This is private. And ain't nobody exempt either. Ain't nobody in here exempt. Oh, nobody. Oh, nobody's exempt. See, we want to keep him from starting it. We want to keep him. We've got to get him to get on the altar to break it now.
Amen.
That's right, buddy. Come on, get the altar.
Amen.
You ought to get on the altar and say, Lord, it's these things that I just thought didn't matter. They do matter.
Yes,
now, if you can explain that verse any other way, you can go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I don't care, but I'm going to believe you can't explain no other way. Ask God to help you. You know what I did the other day? I preach about them hidden sins of the heart. Right here, Sunday morning. I watched a man in this church drop his head down and start dripping tears through his fingers. I don't know what in the world he was dealing with, but he was dealing with what he needed to deal with. You know, Psalm 1 said, blessed a man that walketh not, standeth, sitteth not, but his delight... Here's the secret to it. His delight is in this book, in the law of the Lord. Amen. That's step number one, Brother Bright. Step number one is delight in this book. Not some other book, not hunting a book. Got the book, delight in it. But I'm going to tell you, when the fruit comes and the leaf don't wither, it's when he meditates in it day and night. He starts chewing on it and musing about it and seeing what it's really saying. What's this saying to me? I'll tell you what I told Brother Pace. We're dealing with this business of having to hear preaching. That's right. If that prodigal son got under conviction at a hog trough, do you know what the first thing he brought up? It was them servants. I thought this morning as I laid 3 or 4 o'clock praying about this, I thought that's what I'd preach on. Here's what I thought. I said, if that boy brought them servants up, when that Holy Ghost preaching came to him, that preacher was probably preaching about how well God had blessed them with feeding them servants better than the regular outfits got. Somehow or another, that boy felt that pain hit him. Off yonder he is in the boondocks, trying to drink slop out of a trough. And that message come back. That point in that message come back and got him. That may have happened. You say, well, ain't nothing. Servants. Well, ain't how you get saved, worrying about somebody's servants. But it's when that Holy Ghost hits you. So they're doing right. Maybe you ought to come. Ma'am, you ought to come. Your husband don't even know what you've been thinking. My wife told me this. She wore pants when we went to school. She had to quit wearing them to go to school down there at Clear Creek. She wore pants. I'm not being mean now. If you think I am, you're absolutely wrong. She wore them pants. And she got her conviction about that pants. I mean, she got her conviction about them. And here's what she told me. Brother Hanley Milby, she said, honey, I never wore them clothes that were bad that I didn't know there was something wrong. What are you going to say about that? I can't straighten that out. She said it, I didn't. She said, I never did put on a short dress that I didn't know there was something wrong with it. She said, I never wore a revealing blouse that I didn't know that I probably shouldn't have done that. Presumptuous sin. It ain't going to matter. My mother-in-law said, well, it's not me that done it. It's a dirty mind that looked at me. She started, though, because she didn't care about the poor fellows, how he had to pay for that sin that he thought wouldn't matter. Well, thank you for letting me preach, preacher, or teach, or whatever you call it. I want to thank you for that, church. These are praying. I tell you, you better think about what you're doing. You better get you a place at an altar. If you've got any presumptuous sin, you do. Don't try to tell me you don't. I'm born in this kind of this filthy flesh. It's filthy. You know why we're going to bury it? Because it won't work in heaven. It don't work in heaven.